Attention mothers, we have the Intentional Motherhood Retreat in Franklin, Tennessee in April 23rd through the 25th to be exact. And if you haven't gotten tickets yet, we want to remind you, grab some tickets. We have group rates. We also have volunteer tickets. So if you're looking for a discounted ticket and want to come help a little bit, go to our website, intentionalparents.org, get your tickets. Megan Faith Marshman's going to be there. Coretta Eskridge is going to be there. Elizabeth and Diane are sharing, and other guests that you don't even know about. Plus, incredible worship. Can't wait to have you all there. See you soon. Welcome to the Intentional Parents Podcast. Intentional exists to help parents in their God-given task to raise passionate Jesus followers. We exist to bring hope, help, and healing to families. Each week, we will talk about anything from parenting, marriage, lifestyle, and what it looks like to follow Jesus in our time. Intentional is made up of Phil and Diane Comer and Brooke and Elizabeth Moser. I am Brooke, and the funny thing is, we are all family. Elizabeth is Phil and Diane's daughter, so we're a family figuring this thing out together. We hope this podcast feels like you're sitting with us in our home talking about how to do this thing called life together. Elizabeth and I are your hosts. Let's get into this week's podcast. Hey, before we get into today's content, just want to give you a heads up that it is a conversation, and a good one, between Elizabeth and Diane. We captured this conversation recently, and it is around the idea of spiritual formation in motherhood. Now, obviously, Diane and Elizabeth are both mothers, and they're both wives, and so this is their context, and they're going to be speaking from that place, but man, is it rich. And so no matter where you're at in your journey of life, no matter what gender, no matter what space you are inhabiting, this content today, this conversation is going to be rich, and I really do believe it will bless you. So enjoy today's episode.
Welcome back to the Intentional Parents Podcast. Thank you to all of you who so faithfully listen and give us feedback on all of the episodes. We're so thankful for you. If you have enjoyed this podcast, or if you're done listening to this one and you've enjoyed it, would you just do us a favor and either rate the podcast or leave a comment or share it with a friend? And the reason we're always asking you to do that is because that is how people find out about the podcast. That's how we can reach more people and hopefully help more families. So we're so thankful when you guys do that. Today, it is just Mom and I chatting. We actually had planned to record a completely different episode, and we started talking about, well, began with talking about, how do you have time with Jesus as a mom? Like, we get asked that all the time. And Mom and I are somewhat more naturally disciplined people. We both like to get up early, but we recognize that that's not everybody. So we just started talking about, how do we talk to moms about this in a way that's not legalistic and rigid, that is actually doable? And how do we explain why the spiritual disciplines or spiritual practices are important? And we just started talking and realized we need to hit record. So we don't have completely well-formed thoughts yet, but we've just been having a great conversation about it, and we wanted to have you join us. So anything to add to that, Mom?
No, except that that word discipline, as you will hear a little bit later on, we know is a minefield. So maybe a better way to describe Elizabeth and I is that we are people of routine.
Yeah.
And so it would sometimes appear that we're greater disciplined, but I think you want to launch us into that really great quote that you read to me earlier.
Yes. Okay. So this started with, I'm rereading a book I read probably every year called The Life You've Always Wanted. And yes, that sounds very prosperity gospel, but I promise it's not. It's a really great book by John Ortberg on the spiritual practices and spiritual disciplines. And it's like one of the most practical ones I've ever read. And something re-stuck out to me this time through. And he's talking about a conversation he had with a mom in his church. And she was saying that it was easier for her to work on her spiritual life before she became a mom. And then he goes on to explain that as the church, the capital C, we've failed her. We've failed moms. He said she had never been taught to see that caring for two young children, offered daily with expressions of gratitude and prayers for help and patient acceptance of trials, might become a kind of school for transformation into powerful servanthood beyond anything she had ever known. Somehow having a quiet time, quote unquote, counted towards spiritual devotion, and caring for two children did not. And I think that couldn't be further from the truth of how we often understand mm-hmm. our life with Jesus, and we mm-hmm. separate it from our real life, mm-hmm. our actual life, our daily giving of ourselves to our kids, to our family, to our communities. And we don't view that as a spiritual life. Mm-hmm. And yet it is one of the greatest means for transformation, if not the greatest mm-hmm. means for transformation. It is painful. It is not easy. Mm-hmm. It requires stuff that we do not have mm-hmm. in and of ourselves. But what we are doing every day as moms are the spiritual disciplines. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. I think it's so important that we see that mm-hmm. we recognize what is being formed in us if we let it, if we don't mm-hmm. chafe against it mm-hmm. and complain about it, although we're going to complain at times. Mm-hmm. If we don't resist it and resent it, because mm-hmm. that can happen to us, because mm-hmm. there is no time that is our own. But if we allow God to change us and grow us, and if we move into it, asking for all the grace and help mm-hmm. as possible, then it will literally change us from the inside out.
It does change us. I agree. It actually changes us. And add to that an important component when people talk about the spiritual practices or disciplines or rhythms is they often bring in, be really honest with mm-hmm. yourself, that, you mm-hmm. know, God can't really use when we just have a facade
yep.
and we don't go deep. And there's nothing like having a newborn who turns into a toddler and then turns into a teenager.
I have both right now.
To make us really come face to face with the ugly parts of us
yeah.
that we can offer to God as our Redeemer. I say, yes. There is this in me and I never knew it about myself until I had this baby taking
until
up
I
all
had
my time.
Currently, I have a 3-year-old and an almost 13-year-old.
Yes,
and there's all sorts of stuff coming out of me that...
Absolutely. Yeah. I had the same thing. I had a toddler and a teenager at the same time. And all sorts of things came out of me that I didn't know needed redeeming. Mm-hmm. I remember thinking, I was such a patient person.
Me too.
And then John Mark was born, and I realized really quickly that without being hid in Christ, I am so selfish that his constant demands made me so incredibly impatient. Mm. And it was a horrible thing to recognize in myself. At the same time, how beautiful that God began that good work in me in my 20s. And I can say now, decades and decades later, that there is some patience taking root in my very character. And yeah. that rather than being the reactionary 20-something-year-old mom that I was when I started off, I mean, this has taken decades. This is not like
the
short-term
plan. Well, I think
that's
really important. You're saying mm-hmm. decades, mm-hmm. and how many of us are sitting in the place as moms feeling like, gosh, I'm never going to get it. I have to get it right now. I have to figure it out.
Yeah. To be the perfect mom.
Yes.
And
yeah.
there's no perfect mom.
No. Okay, another quote came to mind. The other mm-hmm. book I talk about all the time. You've heard me on here on the podcast talk about all the time. Domestic Monastery by Ronald Rollheiser. You can read it in like a half hour and mm-hmm. then you have a lifetime worth of quotes. But he says, simply put, very few other experiences, perhaps none, are as naturally geared to break the casings of our inherent selfishness as is the experience of child raising. Mm.
Uh-huh.
That could not be more true. Yeah.
So true. Even the things like us, both of us somewhat disciplined, and I say that with air quotes, mm-hmm. God has a way of using our children to make us no longer dependent or needing that kind of order in our life. I remember never being late because it was a family value of my family growing up. You don't be late. You're always 5 minutes early because you're ready, 20 minutes early, and you leave the house 10 minutes earlier. Mm-hmm. But I was always late. I was just, I could not make it to church on time, no matter how early I got started. And being frustrated at my children for making me always late. Mm-hmm. When in reality, there was just such a false sense of self there that somehow my good standing with other people, probably because I'd been critical of late people.
Yeah.
My good standing with other people was dependent on me being on time, and mm-hmm. my children were blocking me from the ability to be on time. Mm. And that, what a great carving. What if my kids had not made me constantly late? Yeah. And realized, you know what? I'm the beloved of God, whether I'm on time, early, or 20 minutes late to absolutely everything. It's yeah. okay. Mm-hmm. Then if God had not been doing that work in my life, what kind of a old lady would I be right now?
Yeah.
Honestly, a crabby, cranky, judgmental, look at your clock when somebody's 5 minutes late.
Yeah.
Difficult person to be around. So mm-hmm. I can actually look back and say, okay, I was mad at my kids, frustrated with my kids for always making me late. And it was the best thing that could yeah. happen to me, because what the Holy Spirit made me realize mm. is that was a false self. Diane's a good woman or an impressive person because she's always on time. I yeah. mean, seriously, that is not a value of Jesus. Somehow I can't imagine him saying no. punctuality is next like to in godliness. The top 10. I don't think
it's
so.
Not a spiritual discipline no. while we're on that topic. No. Oh, that's so good. And we, you know, as we were chatting, I think there can be, like we talked about, that word discipline can sometimes rub people wrong. I think, mm-hmm. You know, you were going to share a story, Mom, of mm-hmm. what the disciplines looked like for you.
Yeah.
And let me share this first, and then okay, I'd love good. You to share That's that story. Good. So again, from the same book that I first read from, The Life You've Always Wanted by John Ortberg, we'll link it in the show notes. But he's talking about basically the difference between discipline and discipleship mm-hmm. and how we need discipline to become a disciple, but the point is not to be disciplined all the time. A disciplined person is highly systematic, rigidly scheduled, chart-making, gold star-loving, early riser. And he's explained that the Pharisees were rigid, but they weren't disciplined people in the sense of true discipleship. Mm-hmm. So he says, a disciplined follower of Jesus is someone who discerns when laughter, gentleness, silence, healing words or prophetic indignation is called for and offers it promptly, effectively, and lovingly. Mm. And when I think about who I want to be as a mom, mm-hmm. for instance, I mean, just as a woman, but when I think about raising my children in the stressful moments when they're driving me crazy or they're fighting with each other yet again or having another meltdown, like that is the person I want to be. Mm-hmm. I want to be able to look into that situation in a emotionally regulated way mm-hmm. and discern what needs to happen here. Mm-hmm. Do I need to go have fun with them? Is laughter needed? Is gentleness, silence, healing words, like what is needed, and being able to offer it promptly, effectively, and lovingly.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
And that takes a lifetime. Mm-hmm. That doesn't happen with the discipline of a 30-minute quiet time in the morning. Mm-hmm. It is so much more than that. Mm-hmm. And I think, Mom, in your generation, the disciplines were rigid mm-hmm. and it was you follow these rules, mm-hmm. you check these boxes, not for everybody, mm-hmm. but there yeah. was lots of overtones with that in yeah. the church. Mm-hmm. And then I think we've now swung the pendulum, as this usually happens generation to generation. Mm-hmm. We've swung it completely the other way. Mm-hmm. I want to make up my own mm-hmm. religion. I want to make up, you do you, don't yeah. you don't have to follow rules, you do whatever works for you, whatever feels good
in any yeah. given moment is
whatever
the
feels good
truth.
Yeah. yeah. So actually this podcast started with, I was saying, we got to be careful how we talk about
yeah.
having a quiet time, because yes. we don't want to sound like we're being too rigid about it,
right.
and yet we see the importance of pressing into some of these disciplines. And how do we talk about this? Because mm-hmm. I think we need to swing the pendulum back somewhere in the middle. Mm-hmm. And just like when you're going to go run a marathon, like we hear this example all the time, but it's so true. Brooke and I ran a marathon, and just the training alone is like forever and ever and ever and ever. The race is not that big deal. It's the training that is mm-hmm. so long and so mm-hmm. intense. But When you decide you're going to go train for a marathon, if you're not already an avid runner, you start with like jogging half a mile and then walking and then jogging a little more. And it's this slow build. So to become the person that I just read about that I want to be, that is a like, I'm going to start with 5 minutes of this. And then in a couple years, I'll be to an hour. And, you know, and I think it, we so often, as moms especially, it's hard to have the long view of anything in mind because the needs are just so pervasive. They're so in our face. It's hard to look beyond that stage of when the needs won't be like that. But mom, you were sharing of what it felt like for you when you first started to press into these disciplines. Like, what was that like?
And I want to clarify, we come into our listening in church to messages, reading of books, in this case, podcasts. And we come in with glasses on, and sometimes our own glasses distort our vision. Our vision. So I think I came into, as a brand new believer in the 70s, in the late 70s, I came in with this idea of discipline, and I latched onto it because I really liked it, because I thought discipline meant regimented. And I am a naturally regimented person. But discipline and being regimented is are not the same things by any means. Just that quote that you read, Elizabeth, is so inspiring, because that is also the person that I want to be. And that's not describing a regimented person. So if we think that regimentation, doing what somebody advises that we do and doing it every day and doing it really well, is going to transform us, it's just not going to. It's not. In fact, it can actually make us really hard to be around people. So I brought my regimentation ideas into this idea of discipline. And when I heard that we were supposed to get up and hear even the wording, we're supposed
to.
Okay. I do what I'm supposed to do.
Because that's how it was presented at that time.
It was presented. This is what, because it was never given the why, really, understanding. So I heard through my particular, you know, listening and my personality, I heard that you're supposed to get up every morning and spend time reading the Bible. And then because Walk Through the Bible had just come out with a program for reading through the Bible in a year, it got elevated. So if you were really serious about your faith, you would read through the Bible every single year. And so I latched on to that because I thought, okay, that I can do. Those give me the rules and I'll do what I need to do them. And I read through the Bible year after year after year in those early years. And I, the way my mind works is I'm naturally constantly asking questions that kind of drives me batty to not get an answer. So I'd be reading through the Bible and I'd have a bazillion questions. I had no background of faith, very little knowledge of the scripture, but I was starting in Genesis, ending in Revelations, coming up with thousands of questions that never got answered year after year after year after year, and found myself just being disciplined, but absolutely no delight in God. Just no, I didn't even know that there was such thing as delight in God. Years later, after constant failure on my part, coming to the point of realizing that what God really wanted me to do was come with his word, because he speaks most clearly through his word. It's not the only way he speaks, but he's supposed to most assuredly, we can be absolutely sure it's him and not ourselves in the word. And listening. Now, listening doesn't take an hour. Sometimes listening is something as simple as taking, you know, you talked about 5 minutes. In five minutes, God can speak to you. Now, that's how you start. You don't want to be, you know, at the end of your life and saying, oh, I spent 5 minutes every day with God. You really want later there to be able to go into more. But we're talking especially to moms whose lives are, they're being demanded of constantly.
They don't always have 5 minutes.
Exactly. Except 5 minutes means that you actually get to brush your teeth, you know, before noon. Another idea is another way to be in the word is to take one paragraph and just, I take one paragraph on Monday. If I'm able to, on Tuesday, I go over that paragraph again, and you're going in not with the idea of reading through and accomplishing and checking something off, but the idea of, Lord, what do you have to say to me? Is there something here? Are there treasures to be found? Mm-hmm. Things I don't know. And I was challenged by a beautiful older woman to do that. And one of the first insights I got was reading in Proverbs, because the other part of this spiritual discipline is that you read Proverbs, chapter of Proverbs every day.
Because there's one for every day of the month.
Yes, exactly. Which Phil has done for years. And of course, that means he hasn't memorized, and he's so full of just so much wisdom from it. But for me, again, Proverbs is very disjointed. It's mm-hmm. not arranged according to subject matter, and it just feels so random to me.
Oh, I remember when I would because I would do that forever mm-hmm. because that's mm-hmm. what Dad said to do. And then I'd always get, what is it, Proverbs 5 and 7 that are about adultery or something? Yeah. And yes. every time I'd get to the fifth of the month, I'd be like, oh gosh, I have to read yes. that one again.
But this woman had challenged me to be looking for wisdom that I need in the Word, and yeah. just asking God to speak to me in the Word. And I was doing my Proverbs thing, and I suddenly dawned on me that all throughout Proverbs is wisdom. The words wisdom and the words understanding are linked. That then became a guiding prayer for me. Lord, I want to be wise. I want to be understanding. What does that look like? I have no idea. Could you make me wise, and could you give me understanding? And again, decades later, began to hear people say about me, oh, Diane understands me. Diane has wisdom to give me. And I'd just be so startled thinking so. No. I'm still the 22-year-old young mom thinking, I don't have wisdom. I don't have understanding. Mm-hmm. And yet, see, I think over years and years and years, God answers and hears that prayer.
Yeah.
So that the real truth of who I was and the who he has made me to be now are two completely different people. Now, I still am constantly asking for wisdom and understanding.
Yes.
I know that I have an inch of wisdom and maybe 3/4 of an inch of mm-hmm. understanding. But you get the idea. We it's not how much ground you cover mm-hmm. or how much time you spend even. It's are you listening in the Word? Because we really do. Now we're focusing on one discipline, being in the Word, being in mm-hmm. the Scriptures, because it's a really important one. It is foundational. It's allowing yourself to be formed by God's words to us. Mm-hmm. And it's safer in that you know it's his actual words mm-hmm. and we're not just being led by the feel good.
It's almost like, if you can look at it, of all the disciplines, it's low-hanging fruit. You can be sure yes. of it. All of them are important. Yes. But almost, I feel like even reading the Gospels and reading about the life mm-hmm. of Jesus, mm-hmm. you start to see because what are the disciplines? They're what did Jesus do?
It's the stuff.
How did he
Jesus
live?
Did.
And yes. so there's tons of them
yeah.
because we get a glimpse into how he lived yes. and how he loved people.
Yeah.
So even just by reading the Gospels, we are learning who Jesus was and what he yes. did, which is the whole point. And I think we can easily, if we're not careful, get stuck on the practices or the disciplines, whatever mm-hmm. word you want to use, themselves as this method, this formula mm-hmm. to turn us into the person we want to be. But the disciplines themselves are not a means to an end.
No.
They are just a way that God leads us to be more like him. Mm-hmm. And he's shown us a way. I'm so thankful yeah. that it's not try to be like Jesus and figure out how to be like him.
Yeah.
It's how we connect to his Holy Spirit. It's how we connect to who God is mm-hmm. and the Spirit of God and how we live like him. Mm-hmm. And so I think it's so foundational, and I didn't understand this. I feel like I'm just beginning to understand mm-hmm. this, of what is the point of any of them. Mm-hmm. Because I would look at some of them, like prayer. I forget to pray all the time. Mm-hmm. I journal prayers better mm-hmm. than I will pray them, but my mind is distracted and my life is distracting. And I would feel every time I'd hear we're supposed to pray, we're supposed to fast, we're supposed to do all these and I would just feel I'm not doing it right, mm-hmm. which mm-hmm. is missing the entire point.
Exactly.
The point of the disciplines is to show up to them and let mm-hmm. God do whatever he wants to do.
Exactly.
And it might look really different than the plan that we had set out. You might start to read And one verse might be mm-hmm. as far as you get yep. for 3 months because mm-hmm. that's the verse God's bringing you to. Mm-hmm. And you might have set out to read 3 books of the Bible in 3 months. But I think the point is that we show up to them, mm-hmm. but we show up to them open-handed and desiring to be filled with the Spirit because that's the whole point. That quote mm-hmm. we read, like you can't live like that apart yeah. from God's Spirit flowing through you. You can't have exactly. wisdom no. and understanding apart from God's Spirit. No. It's not wisdom. No, no. It's knowledge.
It's just, or rules.
Yes.
I make everything into a rule very yeah. easily. If you would just do this, follow this rule that I found,
yeah.
then you're going to be fine. And here's the other thing with the spiritual disciplines. The point of them is transformation. Mm-hmm. We all kind of know that. But how are we actually transformed? We are transformed by being up close, intimately personal to the presence of God in our lives. Mm. He is always with us.
Yeah.
We are not always with him. Mm-hmm. And so the whole point is with the closer we come into him, the more his character, his being, his way of loving rubs off on us. Mm-hmm. So if we view it that way, we're trying to get as close to him as possible, especially in these early years of motherhood. Mm-hmm. It would be totally, if I could look back and give myself advice yeah. when I was a 21-year-old mom to start with, mm-hmm. I would say, oh, abandon the walk through the Bible in 1 year. That's for later in your life. Mm-hmm. For right now, come and just be with me. Come in close. Tell me everything you're worried about. Mm. Take one quick passage of scripture, however much time you have, and just look at it several mm-hmm. times during the day. Bring every problem, every worry, every failed moment, mm. every feeling of inadequacy, bring it to me and look through my grid at mm-hmm. at who you are, at which is in the scriptures. So I would just say, take the pressure off a great deal of time of the word. I'm at a stage of my life where I can get up. I naturally wake up early now. I can spend a long time in the Word, and I absolutely love it. There is absolutely no discipline involved. Yeah. Discipline for me at this stage of my life, so different than I was at 21. At this stage of my life looks like being willing to forego that morning, long, delicious, quiet time, because I'm at Elizabeth's house and
my kids won't let you.
She never gets that. So it's me jumping off the sofa where I yeah. am with my coffee and my Bible as soon as the kids wake up and giving into those children's lives. Mm-hmm. That's discipline for me right now. Hmm. For a mom, it's going to look different. But let me just hold out hope for those of you who wish you could have this long, you know,
quiet
giving into that. Your day is going to come. Mm-hmm. Your day is going to come. I get them day upon day upon day now.
Yeah.
For some of you, reading in the scripture, though, is not the best way at this point in your life to come into the presence of God.
Yeah.
And so Elizabeth and I started just kind of brainstorming different people that we know and how they do come in close to the presence of God. One that I cannot relate to at all that Elizabeth does is by listening to worship music. Mm-hmm. Now, obviously, those of you who know me know that I am deaf and that music through the cochlear implant just doesn't sound all that mm-mm. great, you know. In fact, sometimes it sounds like a toddler getting into your pots and pan drawer and just clanging things around. It's like, stop.
Yeah, you're not going to connect with the Spirit that way.
I'm not. So, but Elizabeth, it's different for you.
Yeah, and it has been since I was young. And it's so funny, Brooke, my husband is a musician and also a pastor, but can't stand listening to worship music because if you're a musician, you know
yes.
that Christian music is not that great of music and there's so much better music out there. So he would never listen to it by choice.
And
so,
neither would Phil, who's yeah. a worship pastor yeah. for 17 years.
Yep. So Brooke will come home and I'll have like worship music playing and he's like, I'm so sorry, but I have to turn it off. I can't yes. even concentrate. Oh, no. But for me, it just speaks directly to my spirit.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
so for me, going on a run and listening to worship music,
yeah.
or playing it in the morning when mm-hmm. we're getting our day going and it's mm-hmm. stressful and nobody wants to do school and mm-hmm. yada, yada, yada. it like helps recenter my heart, and it always has. But I know that that's not the case for everybody, but some people are deeply affected by music, and I am. And so is, I'm watching it in my daughter. So she will say, I was listening to that song and I just got all emotional. I don't know why. And I, so to get to walk her through, like, I think that you are moved by music. God made you very musical and you need to listen to that, and you need to discern like what music makes you feel connected to God and what music doesn't. And you're sensitive in that area. And so I think looking for, how do you, especially in the season of young motherhood, how do you connect with God naturally? Is that out in nature? Do you just, you can't help it when you step out into nature? Is that listening to worship music? Is it reading your Bible? Is it in community with a friend talking about deep things of your soul? Like, is, because that is a discipline. We saw Jesus do that. Is it silence and solitude, which probably never happens if you're a young mom? But is it, are you carving out moments where you can just be totally alone and it's quiet? Is that when you connect with God? And figuring out what that is, and in the season of young motherhood especially, that's where you press in. That's not the season where you say, well, I'm just, I'm terrible at fasting. Well, if you're a young mom who's not getting enough sleep and not getting a proper meal or breastfeeding your baby, it's not your season to implement fasting into your life. So I think we have to shed this idea of like, I need to be good at all of them. Like, you have a lifetime to practice. That word practice is so important. A lifetime to practice all of them. You are never going to master any of them. But the point is practice. And, you know, we talked about, we had a bunch of D's, but then we decided that was too cheesy. We're probably going to give them to you anyway. But it starts with really a desperation when you see this deficit in you that your kids bring out. You see this selfishness in you, this impatience in you that you didn't know was there, or you didn't realize how deep it was, or a wound in you that you didn't know you had from your family of origin that keeps coming up. One of your kids is like igniting it, and you can't figure out why, but it's some deep-rooted wound that you need Jesus to uncover and to heal. Like, it usually starts with some sort of desperation, which then leads us to this desire to like, okay, I want to work through this, which often leads us to those disciplines. But I was just talking, we just drove over from Ben's this morning and we have our two older kids with us. And we just had this moment with our son in the car where Brooke and I are just like looking at each other like, oh, this is working, this is working. But Duke, who's almost, he's 12 and a half, and he said, I was laying in my bed last night praying, which both Brooke and I are like, okay, that's awesome. He was laying in his bed praying all on his own. And he said, I was praying for grandpa, because his grandpa's on hospice in his last couple of weeks. I was praying for grandpa, and he told us all about that. And then he's going with his cousins tonight to do a thing with their youth group and feed the homeless downtown. And he's super excited about it. And he said, I was praying for that time because I really want to, I want to see them, and I want to connect with them. I want to treat them like normal people. And it doesn't come naturally to me to start conversation, but I really want to do that tonight. He just goes off. And then he said, and then I started just praying that I would want to read my Bible more. And so we started asking him. He said, yeah, I read it because you guys make me. You tell me I have to read it every day, but I just read it really fast, and I'm not really like connecting with Jesus. And I was praying last night that I would like want to connect with Jesus. And so we, but he was obviously like so happy this morning. And then he said, and I feel great today. And so we started explaining to him like, Duke, what you're feeling is you're feeling the Holy Spirit. Like you talked to God last night. You told him this is a desire for you. And because he was asking, he said, Mom and Dad, will you pray for me that I will want to read my Bible and spend time with Jesus? To what parent does not want to hear that from their 12-year-old? But it was so interesting to me to see he just came to God and was honest. And said, God, I just read my Bible because my parents make me. And he had this kind of conviction of like, I know that's not, in his mind, he was thinking, I know that's not right. And we started to play. It's not about right or wrong. But what you're saying is you want to have a desire. And just by talking to God about that, he woke up the next morning so joyful, filled with the Spirit, asking for prayer. And like so transformative. That was so transformative for him.
And being so authentic.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I just couldn't help but be struck by it's that simple.
It's that simple.
It's that simple.
It is.
And we make it so much more complicated. Yeah. We add so many more layers of shoulds and I'm not doing it good enough.
Yeah.
But God just sometimes wants us to show up and say, God, what do you want me to know? Or, hey, I'm really struggling in this area. Can you help me? And so often, I know for myself, in the busyness of motherhood, I'm pretty great at doing things in my own strength for a while. And thinking like, I can do it, I can do it. It's not conscious. I'm not like leaving God out of it on purpose. But I can go for a while until I reach a point where it's like, I have no patience left. I have no energy left. I'm just being mean. And then I realize I haven't asked for God's help once. I haven't taken a minute to say, please, God, fill me with your spirit. I can't do this alone. I can't kindly, patiently parent four children day in and day out without God's strength. It's impossible. And yeah, I just was so struck by the simplicity that he was talking to God and to see the transformation in one night. I mean, that was last night. And then this morning, there was like a visible change in his countenance.
And it started with being honest with yourself, honest with God, that you're feeling desperate, that you're feeling the deficit, that you're not the person that you wish that you were. And even honest sometimes when we realize, you know, I remember for years and years and years getting up because of the discipline or regimentation, not sure which.
Just not reading. A bad place to start. Like it's that's not a starting a bad point, place to start. But you can't stay there.
No, you can't stay there. And reading my Bible and closing my Bible and going on throughout my day and realizing maybe at night that hours have gone by. And I have not in any way connected with God. I haven't even thought about God. He hasn't entered my mind and feeling like an utter and complete failure. But I think in many ways, I was employing a spiritual discipline or rhythm that was being ineffective at that stage of my life. I needed something. If I was had it to do over again, I would have copied a chapter. Or not even a chapter, not even close to a chapter, a paragraph. Like Ephesians, I'm reading right now, I'm looking right now at Ephesians chapter 1, 15 through 23. It's like one of the richest passages in all of Scripture. I wish I had just written that down and spent a week, a month, a couple months, just reading it throughout the day, just when I was sitting at my sink while I was putting my makeup on, in those moments where I could actually think and didn't have to be talking to or correcting or disciplining or teaching a toddler.
My kids find me in the bathroom.
Those rare moments, you know, I mean, that probably would have done more to bring me into the presence of God and the nearness of God where he could begin to speak to me and rub off on me and make me like himself and transform me than my disciplined regimented, 45 minutes or whatever in the word. So I hope some of you are listening and you're just hearing that this is like an experimentation. What is bringing you into the presence of God in the most felt presence of God? Because you can say all you want. It's not about feelings, but we are whole people.
Yeah.
It is about your brain, but it's also about your emotions.
Yes.
And I do not want to spend day after day or let's put it this way. I hope that Duke will not now spend day after day after day using his brain to read the scriptures.
Yes.
And leave out the emotional being that he is. I hope that he will engage and that he will feel the felt presence of God when he's reading the scriptures.
Yes.
So you as a mom can guide him and allowing him to know that that's even important. And the word for it mostly in scripture is the idea of experiencing. So to know in the scriptures, in the New Testament, to know is to experience. You're talking about not just left brain stored, fill in the blank knowledge. In the scriptures, when you hear the word know, It means an experience. I know by experience. I know, but I know, but I know more than I can explain it to you in a 3-point outline.
Yeah.
You want your children to know the love of Christ. That means you want them to experience for themselves the love of Christ for them, for who they are. Because once we've experienced that kind of love, there's only one place we can find it. We can't find it in our families. no matter how great your family is, you're not always experiencing each other's love, okay?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The only place we can experience that kind of love is in Jesus, is with Jesus. So you want that for your kids, but you want that for yourself too, so you don't end up being dried up and regimented and disciplined, but kind of ugly at the same time.
Oh, I think that's so good. And I just, coming back to the idea we first talked about in the very beginning, in that quote I read about, are the very act of motherhood and the daily service mm-hmm. and the interruptions from our children and the bending down and loving our children when they're melting down and having a tantrum and connecting with them day in and day out, like viewing that as transformation.
Yes.
Viewing that as
a spiritual act.
Yes. And knowing, remembering, seeing, bring people into it that can point it out about how, and showing you how much it is transforming you and how much it is making you more like Christ if you let it. Mm-hmm. And if you surrender yourself to it, and that's hard. I'm not saying that's easy. That sounds great in theory. Mm-hmm. But when you are exhausted and you're getting up in the morning to do the same thing again and again and again, it is hard to have that heart posture all the time. We need people in our lives reminding us the beauty in it. Mm-hmm. We need to look at our children and remember what God said, what Jesus said about children, to come unto me. He didn't say, come unto me, the perfectly not disheveled, perfectly well-dressed, perfectly behaved children. Like, they had to have been dirty.
Yes.
They had to have been loud because the disciples were trying to get them to go away.
Yeah.
They were probably fighting with each other. Yeah. Yep. And Jesus bent down and said, no, come unto me. Bring them.
Yeah.
And I think that if we can look at our babies and our toddlers, I mean, think about our toddlers who we can lose it on them, which we do all the time, and apologize to them. And what do they say? I love you, mommy. They just want to like climb up into our lap and we are the best thing in the world to them.
They just want to be with us.
Yes. And that, I think that shows us who God is. Mm-hmm. They show us who God is. Yeah. And so to let your children form you, let serving them be an act of a spiritual discipline. We've got to come up with a better word. Practice. There's so many words, but you get the drift. But I think if we can view motherhood through that lens, it's not that, oh, we will have time for all this and we will be changed after, when they're bigger, when it's not so demanding. It's no, they are forming us now if we let it. Mm-hmm. God is forming us now. Mm-hmm. And like you said, like if you hadn't had all those interruptions to be late to church, like imagine the person that you would be.
Oh.
And I've been saying the same thing recently. Just been going through like tragic sickness with our kids, and I'm already, we're not on the other side of it, but I'm already looking at it and realizing this is stopping me from who I could have become if I had the perfectly behaved children. Mm-hmm. In perfect health all the time, if I had what I thought motherhood was going to be, I can already see who I likely would have been on the other side of that. Mm-hmm. And that's not who I want to be. Mm-hmm. And it's happening in a way messier way than I would ever choose for it to. It's super painful. I'm not trying to say that it's totally fine because it's turning me into this person. It's currently bringing out all the things that need to be worked out. But I see glimpses of who it's going to make me on the other side of it, who it's slowly making, and who it's making my kids, and what I can see the hope for what our family might be on the other side of it. And I want that way more than I want the buttoned up, everything in order, rigid.
To-do list always crossed off by the end of the day.
Yes, although I still really like crossing things off.
I do too. I write things down just so I can cross them off. Oh, I did that
all the time.
But, you know, to you young moms who are like us, okay, you're listening to this and you're probably feeling some sense of conviction, but also some sense of relief that you don't have to keep striving. You don't have to keep pushing yourself. You can just take a deep breath and that what Jesus really wants for you is to be with him. That's what the Father is longing for, that you would be with him and not just for an hour in the morning with your Bible open. As beautiful as that is, I mean, I haven't missed a day in years. Mm-hmm. But that is really not the end of all ends. What he wants you is with him all day long. And and it'll take the rest of your life. And even then, it's not until we actually see him face to face when we die or he comes back that we actually experience what we're made for, which is that absolute complete connection, union with Christ and all of that. But some of you are listening and you are by nature more loosey-goosey, more you take life just as it comes, or you're really reactive and you just, you know, you're constantly reacting to whatever's going on in your life. For those of you on that side of the equation, I would urge you to look at who you are and ask yourself really honestly, what brings me quickest into the presence of God?
Yeah.
But also include something in the scriptures every day, if at all possible, or most days. Let's put it this way. If you could make 7 days a week, if you could make 4 days a week where you actually open the scriptures and read one psalm, or just the 23rd psalm, real short, I would just urge you to begin with that 5 minutes to be able to put some structure into your life. And we're not being hypocritical of what we're saying now. We're just saying that people are so different. Because really what really comes down to is we want to know, experience Jesus Christ. We need to know him with our minds, but we also need to know him with our emotions, our express, and who he says he is, and his expression to us. So we're trying to give anybody and everybody who's listening to this freedom to know that this is the end goal of your life. You have a lifetime of doing this. You're never going to achieve it perfectly or do it exactly right. And then the spirit will constantly be disrupting your nice ways and patterns of doing things because he wants to stay fresh with you and fresh in you and fresh through you for the entirety of your life. If you're older like me and you were raised in a more regimented way of approaching Christ, I would challenge you to ask God to loosen you up a little bit. Just let him surprise you. Maybe there is some different way that he wants to be meeting you day by day, in and out. Maybe it's because you have become that very judgmental, harsh, you don't, my way or the highway, you're not doing it right kind of a person. And that is not the kind of person that you want to be. Remember that paragraph that Elizabeth read, and maybe that would be a good way to close this, Elizabeth, to reread who we want to end up as.
Yeah, this is who we want to be, especially, I just think, especially to my kids, to anyone, but I think of my kids. A disciplined follower of Jesus is someone who discerns when laughter, gentleness, silence, healing words, or prophetic indignation is called for, and offers it promptly, effectively, and lovingly.
Thank you for listening to today's podcast. If this podcast has blessed you in any way, here's a few ways that you can partner with us in this ministry. First is to give. Intentional Parents is a nonprofit, and we rely on the generous giving of our partners. So please head over to our website, intentionalparents.org/give, if you would like to become one of our partners through giving. Second is to share it. If this has at all been helpful to you, we encourage you to share it with your friends, your family, and those that you know would be blessed by it. Third is to follow us on social media platforms, Instagram, Twitter, Facebook. You can find us on Instagram at intentional_parents. And lastly, if you would head over to iTunes, if you enjoyed today's episode, and leave a review on iTunes, this helps us bring more hope, help, and healing for families.